This is KUOW. I'm Bill Radke.
It was fratricide. You can say, well, but they are communists. Okay, they're communists. They are the worst Vietnamese in the entire world. We were the good Vietnamese. But let's face, Vietnamese killing Vietnamese. How do you deny that? If you don't call that fratricide, what do you call that?
That's Phan Quang Thuy, who worked for the South Vietnamese government during the Vietnam War. It's from the new Ken Burns documentary on PBS, an 18-hour re-examination of the Vietnam War. That war, of course, has been over for more than 40 years, but the pain is fresh for some of the soldiers who fought it and for the children of refugees who fled their country for the United States. And we're going to talk now with two Seattleites about how that experience, their parents' experience, theirs, those cultural images still matter today and what we could do better. Tan Tan is a writer and storyteller for Microsoft and the host of a new KUOW podcast called Second Wave about the Vietnamese-American story. And James Hong runs the Vietnamese Friendship Association in Columbia City. Welcome to both of you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Tan, you grew up seeing impressions of the Vietnam War from TV and movies and from your parents who were refugees. How, it's a simplistic question, but how did that affect you, would you say?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Where to begin? So I think I have always grown up with my feet in two worlds. So going to school, you're in a very white world influenced by pop culture.
In Olympia?
In Olympia, Washington. And then when you go home, my family spoke Vietnamese in the home. My mother was very busy, I think, you know, trying to be a good wife and a good mother and move on, like, from the war. She loved gardening. She worked for the state of Washington. My dad was also a civil servant. He rebuilt his life here as well. But he also took us to a lot of protests and to hunger strikes, asked us to help him proofread letters to Congress, you know, talking about human rights abuses in Vietnam. So my parents kind of had split perspectives. My mom was kind of ready to move on. My dad very much sort of left his heart, you know, in Vietnam and always felt this responsibility to not forget, you know, what was going on there and the circumstances that he left behind. So I think so I got a lot of different viewpoints, you know, in my head. And it wasn't always easy to try to reconcile all of these perspectives.
Yes. And you, of course, get into this at length in the podcast. But can you give us a sense of how you processed all that growing up?
Well, we process by not processing it, by not talking about our stories. I didn't know any better. I was just really young and naive. I was born here in the United States. Whatever happened during the war, I always felt like that is my parents' story and that happened before me. And now we're safe and we're here. So we just didn't talk about it. And my parents, you know, I always think like there were so many barriers. We have this language barrier because my parents' first language is Vietnamese. I speak primarily English. I do speak Vietnamese still, but that inhibits, you know, the type of conversations that you can truly have. Then we have the cultural barriers. My parents were very much very Vietnamese, where I was very Americanized. Then you have the intergenerational differences, where my parents really wanted to put that, they wanted to move beyond it. When refugees come here to America, the United States government expects you to pull yourself up and to move on, and you need to support yourself. And my parents went along with that. You know, they really did. And I think they wanted us to be able to take advantage of all the opportunities that they did not have. And so we didn't process it and we didn't talk about it. So now I'm, you know, in my 30s and realizing about the same age as my father when he came here to the United States and thinking about these questions. Do I have what it takes to cross an ocean to find better opportunities? And I actually don't think I have that courage and that will. So it's just made me more curious and it's made me more determined to talk to my parents and to ask these questions, not just of them, but of our other elders in our community as well.
I do want to talk about moving on, moving beyond, as you say, versus stopping and noticing as well and learning. And we also have James Hong here, who runs the Vietnamese Friendship Association in Columbia City. Did I understand it right that you were, in a sense, ashamed of being Vietnamese American at one point? Is that right?
Yeah, I'd say
why?
For the majority of my young life, it was a big burden to carry to know that you're the child of Vietnamese refugees, and having that culture clash between what my parents brought in terms of the heritage and the history versus what I was exposed to and surrounded by here growing up in America. Like Tan, I was born here in California.
California. I ask about Ashame because I think to a lot of people, the idea that, your parents came with so little and that you and they overcame so much is a matter of pride.
It certainly is now, but at the time when I was a child, it felt like I had to choose between being a Vietnamese refugee culturally or being an American and everything that came along with that. I think it was, a part of me being so young that I didn't really understand the implications of what that meant for my own identity and what it meant in terms of how we preserve that culture and that heritage.
And how do you think that might have compared to someone who is the child of a refugee from a different Asian country? What was there something unique about our cultural impression of what Vietnam means to America?
I certainly think so, because it's this strange duality. On the one hand, the story of refugees here in America, whether it's from Vietnam or other countries, are unique in the sense that many of us didn't choose to be refugees. It's a life that we weren't really given a choice about, versus this more traditional view of what it means to be American, to be born here and to be grew up here, and the types of privileges that you inherit as a result of that.
I think specifically, too, like being a child of Vietnamese refugees, like think about what Vietnam means, what that word conveys, the feelings that it conveys in American society and American culture. So for us specifically growing up, it's like you've got Rambo, Apocalypse Now, all these movies about how damaging that war was to our veterans, and to our soldiers. And then you have references to Vietnamese women. Most of the time, they're sexual references. And, you hear that and
like come-ons to GIs type of image?
Yeah, come-ons to GIs. I mean, I was watching a Modern Family marathon recently, like while I was cleaning up, and there were so many references to the father being a Vietnam vet and knowing how to perform certain sexual acts because of that time. So it's kind of, that is like what we take in. And there wasn't a lot of representation in the media. So it was very limited. So, the embarrassment comes from, not only it's like, okay, my house smells like fish sauce because my mom cooks Vietnamese food at home, and I don't want to smell like that when I go to school, and then you have these like movie references and pop culture references. And so that informs what your friends and other people outside of the home are thinking about you and who you are. And I think it makes like the Vietnamese community maybe in a way a little different because Vietnam has been portrayed, in pop culture a little more, I think, than like some other refugee groups.
Yeah. Well, then let's talk about, as you said, moving on, moving beyond, because I think despite Ken Burns' new series, I don't think most young Americans are dwelling on the Vietnam War. You'd know better than I, but I wonder about, could you move beyond it even if you wanted to? Because I feel like a whole lot of Americans have, as far as I know, these are dated references we're making.
I think a couple things. Like number one, we don't really learn about the Vietnam War in the first place. When I was in high school in the late 1990s, I don't remember how much time we spent on it, but it was a feeling that we're not spending as much time as we have on World War II, on the Civil War, and I think that's because, Ken Burns in the podcast that just came out today, the Second Wave podcast, talks about how we've just
This is your podcast, yes. On KOW, you interviewed him.
Yeah, and he said, we have just oversimplified, that war, and it's something Americans don't want to talk about and don't want to reflect on because we lost that war. It's the first and only conflict that America has just outright just didn't win and had to pull out in shame. And so that's kind of affected, how we reflect on that conflict itself. And I think you need time too. I think 40 years is about enough time for a lot of the people who lived through that war to be removed from it and to be able to reflect on it. Because one of the reasons my family, and I'm sure maybe James can relate to this as well, one of the reasons our families did not talk about the war is because I think it was too painful for them. Why would you want to relive, talking about surviving bombs and experiencing seeing, in my mother's case, your cousin get murdered in cold blood and having family members who fought on all sides of the conflict and that created trust issues? There's just a lot of painful stuff to unpack. And I think it's and I think we as Americans have a hard time confronting really painful history.
Yeah. So maybe now is the time.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I tried the whole let's move beyond, let's forget about it and just take another step forward. And it didn't really work out for me, as I just shared before, kind of carrying that guilt and that burden. Mm-hmm. I think what's important now is to better understand the complexity of it and all the different perspectives and experiences as it relates to the Vietnam War and everything that followed it. Not in a way to diminish those types of stories and experiences, but as a way to better reflect on it and use it to empower us and increase our understanding of how we can actually move forward together as a community and as a country in regards to new things that are happening with refugees now, whether they're from Syria or from other countries.
Yeah.
You know, the refugee story, it's not over. It's still going on. It's just changing where it comes from.
It's still going on. And I think James and I, we're friends. And like, we've talked about this, where it's like, Vietnamese refugees, we have a voice here. We can be speaking up for the refugees who are trying to flee the Middle East. And why are we not doing that? And I think a part of that is because we haven't owned our own story and we haven't acknowledged our own story. And the history about the Vietnam War has been dominated by Western perspectives, non-Vietnamese voices. And so, you know, we are trying, in a way, we have to make up for lost time. And, you know, we are the next generation. We speak English. We were educated here. So we're privileged enough to be able to hopefully have a voice, build up and understand, like, what is our story? What is our history? And make sense of it. Yeah.
Are you, I take it you're watching every moment of the Ken Burns documentary. How are you taking it in? Privately viewing parties.
I watched all 18 hours before I interviewed Ken Burns and Lynn Novick for the documentary. That was like a requirement. So yeah. I've seen the whole thing, and it is. I describe it as being a visceral experience. And as I was taking notes, watching every episode, there were a lot of F bombs. Just typing like F, you know, like yeah. because I felt like I was seeing Vietnamese families. For the first time, I felt, God, I'm seeing my family. I'm seeing what my mother, my father, my grandmother, my grandfather, you know, like I'm seeing what they lived through and I'm seeing what they survived because it is horrific because you see those violent scenes like throughout the countryside and the result of, you know, people getting shot and bombed and it's traumatic, you know, but it felt like... I don't know, but I think I've always felt really removed from the Vietnam War. But watching it, it was just like, it was an intense experience. And it made me appreciate, you know, the fact that I have the life that I have.
Yeah, I'd say I'm on the other end of the spectrum as Tan. I've gone through the trailer and I look forward to like seeing all the other episodes. I'm especially excited in talking to my parents about it and my friends to kind of get their reactions as well. Mainly in a way to help me process mm-hmm. what I'm seeing and what I'm learning.
But Tan, did you ever think, yeah, this is 18 hours of a white perspective on the Vietnam War?
You know, that was something I was really sensitive about. Like months ago, I've been tracking and following, you know, this film ever since I heard about it a few years ago when I moved back to Seattle. And yes, I was sensitive about that. And I think the Vietnamese community is also sensitive about that because I have seen, you know, many forums and places where we talk about the war and Vietnamese perspectives are not included. But that is actually what makes this film quite extraordinary in that you hear not just one Vietnamese perspective, but you hear many. So you hear the perspective of the South Vietnamese soldier. You hear the perspective of the North Vietnamese soldier who's a communist. You hear the perspective of the Viet Cong. They were the communist infiltrators in the South. You know, and I found that to be really eye-opening because it didn't fit with this narrative. You know, not everybody grew up in a political household like I did, but I really did grow up thinking that communists were evil, that this was a black and white thing, that this was a war about freedom. This is us versus them. They wanted to take away our freedom. And now I think about it, it's kind of ridiculous, you know, but when you watch the film and you see all of these different perspectives, you know, there's only so much that you can fit into 18 hours. It is still dominated by white perspectives, Western American perspectives, but I truly appreciate, I really think that Ken Burns and Lynn Novick really made an effort to go beyond the obvious and get beyond the black and white, and I appreciate that.
So, Tan, your podcast, Second Wave, do you assume that the listenership is mostly non-Vietnamese American, like like KUOW's audience? And if so, what are you saying to those listeners?
Well, when we were creating the podcast, I think I felt a lot of this pressure because I felt like, oh my God, it's like rep sweat. I have to represent the older
rep
Vietnamese.
Sweat.
Yeah, the older Vietnamese, the younger Vietnamese, like Vietnamese speaking, English speaking. And that's a really heavy burden. And, you know, the team, my editor, you know, Jim Gates, producer Caroline Chamberlain, we went through a lot of training and thinking about who is our audience. And I think we have to recognize that the podcast audience tends to be like highly educated, you know, okay in the income area, coastal elites. We have to recognize like that is the current audience. But I also felt the problem that we're trying to solve is that people like me felt that our stories were not represented in the media. So somebody, that is the problem that we need to solve. And so we kind of ended up doing a lot of research and thinking about who do we think our audience is? And we kind of came up with a persona where we think we're trying to target Vietnamese Americans, young English speaking, who are very much like me and probably come from backgrounds like James and myself, where your parents don't really want to talk about it. There's a language barrier, there's a cultural barrier, but you're curious. And so hopefully the podcast sort of bridges that gap and helps, listeners to sort of gauge where they're at in understanding their own story and identity, and maybe helps to give them some tools to know how to talk to their parents and to their family members and how to navigate and talk about these very difficult subjects.
Tan Tan, host of KUOW's new podcast, Second Wave, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
James Hong, executive director of the Vietnamese Friendship Association in Seattle. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The new episode of Second Wave is an interview with Ken Burns, right? And Lynn Novick?
Yes.
About their 10-part series, The Vietnam War,
yeah.
Which Tan has seen all of, James has seen none of, and maybe we'll all come together and watch it together now. That's an interesting idea. You were saying that maybe now is the exact time. Find the podcast Second Wave at KUOW.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Great to talk to you both.
Thanks. Thank you.
We're on Twitter @KUOW. I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you tomorrow.